Satisfaction, but a positive pain. Here, albeit without that large liberty that nature gives, they are free in a measure, and swimming and diving or dozing in the sunshine with the blue sky above them, they are perhaps unconscious of any restraint. Walking along the margin, I noticed three children some yards ahead of me. Two were quite small, but the third, in whose charge the others were, was a robust-looking girl, aged about 10 or 11 years. From their dress and appearance, I took them to be the children of a respectable artisan or small tradesman. But what chiefly attracted my attention was the very great pleasure the elder girl appeared to take in the birds. She had come well provided with stale bread to feed them, and after giving moderately of her store to the wood-pigeons and sparrows, she went on to the others, native and exotic, that were disporting themselves in the water or sunning themselves on the green bank. She did not cast her bread on the water in the manner usual with visitors, but was anxious to feed all the different species, or as many as she could attract to her, and appeared satisfied when any one individual of a particular kind got a fragment of her bread. Meanwhile, she talked eagerly to the little ones, calling their attention to the different birds. Drawing near, I also became an interested listener, and then, in answer to my questions, she began telling me what all these strange fowls were. "This," she said, glad to give information, "is the Canadian goose, and there is the Egyptian goose, and here is the king duck coming towards us, and do you see that large beautiful bird standing by itself that will not come to be fed? That is the golden duck, but that is not its real name. I don't know them all, and so I name some for myself. I call that one the golden duck because in the sun its feathers sometimes shine like gold." It was a rare pleasure to listen to her. And seeing what sort of a girl she was and how much in love with her subject, I, in my turn, told her a great deal about the birds before us, also of other birds she had never seen nor heard of, in other and distant lands that have a nobler bird life than ours. And after she had listened eagerly for some minutes and had then been silent a little while, she all at once pressed her two hands together and exclaimed rapturously, "Oh, I do so love the birds!" I replied that it was not strange, since it is impossible for us not to love whatever is lovely, and of all living things, birds were made most beautiful. Then I walked away.